ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna, Text 27.
Tata
Nanda
Rajam
Ita
Pitla
Kamsa
Vibhyata
Ikadasha
Sama Tatra
Gura Aki
Sabala
Avasat
Tato Nanda Vrajambita Pitla Kamsa Vibhyata Ekadasha Samastatra Gurachi Sabalavasa
Gurachi Sabalavasa
Tatonanda Vrajambita Vitlakansa Vibhyata Ekadasha Samastatra
Ekadasha Samastatra
Gurachi Sabalavasa Pitra, by his father. Kamsa, from Kamsa. Vibhyata,
being afraid of.
Ekadasha,
11.
Sama,
years.
Tatra,
daring.
Gudaachi,
covered by.
Sabala,
with
Baladev.
Avasat,
residing. Translation. Thereafter, his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda.
And there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother, Baladev. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There was no necessity of the Lord's being dispatched to the house of Nanda Maharaj out of fear of Kamsa's determination to kill him as soon as he appeared. It is the business of the Asuras to try to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to prove by all means that there is no God, or that Krishna is an ordinary human being and not God. Lord Krishna is not affected by such determination of men of Kamsa's class. But in order to play the role of a child, he agreed to be carried by his father to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj, because Vasudeva was afraid of Kamsa. Nanda Maharaj was due to receive him as his child, and Yashoda Mayi was also to enjoy the childhood pastimes of the Lord. And therefore, to fulfill everyone's desire, he was carried from Mathura to Vrindavan just after his appearance in the prison house of Kamsa. He lived there for 11 years and completed all his fascinating pastimes of childhood, boyhood, and adolescence with his elder brother, Lord Baladev. His first expansion. Vasudeva's thought of protecting Krishna from the wrath of Kamsa is a part of a transcendental relationship. The Lord enjoys more when someone takes him as his subordinate son who needs the protection of a father than he does when someone accepts him as the Supreme Lord. He is the father of everyone, and he protects everyone. And when his devotees take it for granted that the Lord is to be protected by the devotee's care, it is a transcendental joy of the Lord. Thus, when Vasudeva, out of fear of Kamsa, carried him to Vrindavan, the Lord enjoyed it. Otherwise, he had no fear from Kamsa or anyone else. Om Ajnana Chirananda Syakyam Janasvaya Chakshmanam Tasmanishvam. It's interesting that we're talking about something that has a powerful use or a powerful presence in both the spiritual and the material world. Now, everyone should know about the presence of fear in the material world. Fear means that whenever you try to enjoy, you know that some problems will come. And therefore, in order to counteract that anticipation, that correct anticipation of the problems you know are going to come, you try to dull your brain. You try to do things to yourself so you don't think about the inevitable. Because there is fear in this world, you should know you cannot enjoy it. This is a very important point to meditate on throughout the day. How can you be happy in a place where there is fear and anxiety? Not possible. If you detect fear and anxiety in an atmosphere, you should know happiness is not possible. And this is the story of material life. Fear and anxiety ruins all attempts at happiness. You cannot get that clear experience of happiness that you crave so much. There's always problems, and you're always thinking, what new problems will tomorrow bring? This is the nature of material life. But because we are proud, we keep endeavoring. I'll do it my way. I'll come up with something. My big break will come. Something will happen to me. We have that stubborn determination. It's amazing to see how determined we are to struggle on in material life through all sorts of fear and anxiety. But we have no determination to carry on in Krishna consciousness. In our material life, although it's an atmosphere full of impediments, we constantly make plans. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. My life will unfold in this way. I'm taking these steps. I'm making these decisions. We'll do that for material life, which is lived in an atmosphere of fear. But in Krishna consciousness, we will not make any plans how to qualify ourselves for the service of the Lord. Perhaps it is because in our material life we experience so much fear and problems, so then we come to Krishna consciousness and we think, okay, now I can just stop worrying about having any kind of plans to develop myself, stop worrying about how I can progress my life in devotional service. So you just kind of take a vacation from dealing with yourself and thinking how to carry on the service of the Lord. This is actually not the proper way to address Krishna consciousness. Okay, it is a fact, the presence of fear in the material world ruins everything. And when you talk to devotees, you'll find out that most of them came to Krishna consciousness to escape distress. We've been having our gatherings every evening, and we took a survey, about 30 devotees were there, and 90% of the devotees said, yes, I came to Krishna consciousness to get away from distress. You know that Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter of Vidha Pajante, ma jana sukatina arjuna. Four types of persons approach Krishna, and one of them is, one of those four types is the distressed persons. Most people fit into that category these days. They're not coming for knowledge. A few come because they're curious about metaphysical things, but most people are just distressed. They realize that they couldn't get what they wanted in material life, or it took too much sacrifice out of them, there was too much anxiety, and so they come to Krishna consciousness. Now that's okay. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says all these four types who approach him, they're good. They have sukriti. That means in Sanskrit, that Sanskrit means auspicious merit, because they're approaching the Supreme Lord. Now, we have that good merit to approach the Supreme Lord. In the age of Kali, that merit comes from contact with Lord Chaitanya's movement. Otherwise, no one's born with any pious merit. So, once we come to Krishna consciousness, we've got to make some progress beyond just the stage of being here because, well, I didn't like the material world. You have to progress beyond that point. Now, it's true that Krishna says, you come to me because you're distressed. That's good. But you have to go further than that. Otherwise, you'll never have any devotional locomotion or devotional drive. You'll just be here, okay, I was suffering so much, now I'm in the temple, now I'm in the devotional community, alright, that's the end of that. No, in order to actually experience what Krishna consciousness is, we have to have some kind of drive and determination. That drive and determination comes out of appreciation of Krishna and appreciation of Krishna's devotees. Then we're willing to sacrifice. Then we're willing to mold our life in a progressive way for obtaining Krishna's lotus feet. So we've got to kind of wake up from the, you know, distress stage. I was suffering so much, it was hellish out there. And then what happens after some years, you really forget how hellish your material life was, but there's no attraction to Krishna's service. Therefore, you kind of just are in a numb condition. And you become very wooden-like. You've forgotten the acute miseries, but you don't have an acute attachment for Krishna's service, so you're in a kind of wooden state, and it's like, well, how long can I go on like this? Well, I guess there's nothing else to do, so I'll go on like this. No, we need to stir ourselves up. We need to stir others up that Krishna consciousness is dynamic, and Krishna deserves the best of our plan-making abilities, the best of our ability to form our life and have a vision for ourselves. That's what Krishna consciousness deserves. Last night we were discussing with the devotees, what do you see yourself being like in 5 years? How do you see yourself? What do you think is going to happen to you, or what would you like to happen to you in 5 years? We were doing this because often devotees just think that I don't have to worry about these things. It's not so much worry in the material sense. worry in the material sense is full of anxiety, but I don't have to be so concerned. I'm taking a vacation from trying to progressively map out my life. While we think we're taking a vacation from that, though, and we're not thinking how to deal with ourselves, things are happening to us. Krishna is not going to just let us take leave of our intelligence and our determination. In devotional service, there are dynamics. So we have to look at our life and see, how am I going to get in touch with those dynamics of bhakti yoga? Otherwise, sooner or later, I'll be caught up in the dynamics of the material world, and that means fear, anxiety, and suffering. So, devotees, they began to think about it last night. Yeah, what would I... 5 years from now, how do I see myself? It was a bit funny, because the men and the women had different reactions. Kind of, the women kind of looked around at each other and kind of, you know. So, I kind of prodded them. I know, in 5 years, you're all going to still be living in the Brahmacharya ashram. Then they started talking. Yeah, in 5 years, I'll be married, I'll have my home, there'll be children, like that. So once they saw it was all right to say that, they came out like that. And then the men, they were the funniest, the men. The men were kind of, they would beat around the bush and come up with very abstract philosophical statements. But I said, come on, guys, look, you know what the statistics are. And then finally, one brave soul, you know, raised his head. In 5 years, I plan to be married. I plan to have children. And my concern is that I want to still be a contributor to the temple. I want to be involved with the temple. But, you know, I'm wondering because I see that many people become householders and they disappear. And I don't want to do that. I want to marry. I want a family. But I want to be completely involved with the temple. So, you know, that's what I'm going to be working out in the next 5 years. So once somebody broke the ice like that, then some other men started, I don't see myself being a brahmachari in 5 years or that. But of course, there were some men who did plan like that. No, I'd like to go the distance. I'd like to continue living in the brahmachari ashram and dealing with myself for my own purification. So I could see this was a healthy exercise because devotees hopefully started to see that it's our responsibility to deal with ourselves for Krishna's service. No one's going to live our life for us. We should give this to Krishna. In the material world, it's just full of fear and anxiety. We're busy making plans. I'm going to go to university. I'm going to get this job. I'm going to rise up through the ranks. You plan this, you plan that. I'm going to take a trip. Now, why can't we use that same skill in our Krishna consciousness? If we don't, we're not treating Krishna properly. Krishna is worthy of our plans. Krishna is worthy of our determination. Krishna is worthy of our sacrifice. So we got to kind of switch the brains on and understand, I am dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Now how is my life going to unfold so that I can advance in Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is progressive. You go from one step to another step, and in that way, if done properly under guidance, your life is like a flower that blooms in bhakti yoga. So we're trying to get devotees to understand that. They should see how their life is going to develop. Not that they're just hanging out in the ashram, hanging out wherever they live, and just waiting for things to happen. If you're like that, things will happen to you. Generally, it's sense gratification. But if you absorb your determination and your plan-making and your ability to sacrifice, absorb that in Krishna's service, then you see the flower of bhakti unfold. And it's very pleasing to Krishna, and therefore it's pleasing to you. Simply coming to Krishna consciousness because you're escaping the fear and distress of the material world, that kind of motivation won't last. And what it does, although it gets you in the door here, if you simply hold on to that motivation, you aren't really usable for a dynamic Krishna consciousness. For dynamic Krishna consciousness, you've got to be concerned with Krishna's service. How can I serve Krishna better? How can I give more for Krishna? So this is beyond the escape from material distress platform. Now, we discuss fear in the material world. What about fear in the perfect spiritual existence? That's what this verse is about. It's about Vasudeva being afraid of Kamsa brought him to the cow pastures of Maharaj Nanda, and there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladeva. Now, why is Vasudeva afraid of Kamsa? Vasudeva knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the position of Vasudeva. He has affection for the Lord as his son, and simultaneously Vasudeva has knowledge of the Lord's opulences. He and Devaki are a bit different from Yashoda and Nanda. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda never considered the Lord, that their son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Vasudeva and Devaki, especially Devaki, she's described as nearing the Vrindavan platform. She has affection mixed with knowledge of the Lord's opulences. So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared in the prison cell of Kamsa, Vasudeva, he began to offer prayers. He was shivering with wonder to see this four-handed Supreme Personality of Godhead born with the conch, the chakra, the disc, the club, fully decorated with kastuba gem, hair, dress. Vasudeva was shivering with wonder seeing this kind of person born to him. And Vasudeva knew this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna particularly took his appearance, took his so-called birth with four hands so that there'd be no way Vasudeva and Devaki would mistake him as an ordinary child. So after being stunned with ecstasy, Vasudeva began to offer prayers. I know who you are. He began like that. I know that you are the super soul, the cause of all existence. He offered his prayers pointing out that the Lord is everywhere. He's not simply confined within Devaki, and then he takes birth. Just like the material elements are outside the body, and the material elements also are inside the body forming it. Similarly, the Lord is outside and inside everything. Now, there are four things the Acharyas describe, but there are four things Vasudeva was astonished about. It's always good to meditate on these things because Krishna consciousness is emotional. Krishna consciousness involves your internal feelings, but it's nice to know what the real feelings, the real emotions are about, and that way we can purify our emotions. Vasudeva's emotional reaction was fourfold. First of all, how is it that the Supreme Lord is appearing within the prison cell of Kamsa? How can that be? Just look at my situation. I'm locked up in jail. Yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared here. Secondly, we all know the Lord is all-pervading. How is it that he's appeared from the womb of Devaki when Krishna is everywhere? Thirdly, just look at this child fully decorated as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who has a baby with conch, disc, club, and lotus in their hand? Who has a baby that's born fully dressed with hair, full hair, jewels? Who has a child like that? So Vasudeva was in wonder about the appearance of the Supreme Lord. And the fourth thing, the Supreme Lord is my worshipable deity, but now he's appearing as my son. These four things astonished Vasudeva as he's offering his prayers. Then he finished, and Devaki, she began to pray. She also knew this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She appreciated that the Lord had appeared in order to relieve her fear of Kamsa. And Devaki expressed to him that, I'm afraid because you're looking obviously like the Supreme Lord. So could you make yourself a little less obvious? With your poor hand, it's obvious who you are. And Kamsa wants to kill you. But if you could make yourself a little less obvious, we'd have a better chance of hiding you. And Devaki also expressed that, what will people think if they hear I had a four-handed baby? So all those emotions were there. But what was Devaki's main emotion? That I have to protect you. So yes, she was thinking, I'm afraid of Kamsa. And yes, she was thinking, how to explain that I had a four-handed baby. But her main emotion was, I must protect my son because Kamsa will try to kill him. She thought that so much, so to the extent that she wanted Krishna to go away to Vrindavan, even though she knew that move would bring about more harassment upon herself. This is Devaki's pure devotional service. Never mind, I'll have to suffer when Kamsa finds out the child is missing and starts to terrorize me. Never mind that. Let my son be safe. So this is the special blend of Vasudeva and Devaki. They have knowledge of the Lord and at the same time affection. And on the one hand, Devaki's saying, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet on the other hand, she's saying, I'm afraid for you. I don't want you to be harmed. Now when you go to Vrindavan, you find something else completely. You find that there's no knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. You simply find Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda wanting to maintain Krishna, protect Krishna, feed Krishna, clean Krishna. Just like when Nanda Maharaj went to the bank of the Yamuna River to take bath, and he just happened to enter the river at a slightly early time according to the intricate Vedic formulas for ritualistic activity. So, because he entered a little bit early into the river to take his bath, one of the representatives of Varuna came and took him away to the kingdom of Varuna. Krishna was informed what happened and immediately understood, my father has been captured by Varuna's representative. So, after the Lord rescued his father was talking to his cowherd older men, and he was saying, I'm so surprised how Varuna was treating my son. Varuna was treating him like he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he and the older cowherd men began to speculate a bit. Maybe he is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maybe. Could it be true? And if so, what will be our destination? What will be our salvation? Well, Krishna could understand that they were thinking like this, wondering what their destination will be. And the Lord recited a verse, very interesting. It has a double meaning. The Lord said that the living entities are always going here and there. They're performing activities. They don't know what the result is. They don't understand what their destination will be. That verse has a double meaning because it applies to conditioned souls as well as to the residents of Vrindavan who are covered by Yogamaya. In material life, yes, you're wandering here and there, you do things, you don't know what the result will be, you don't know what your destination will be. This is the ignorance that that we've been speaking about in terms of material consciousness. And we bring that ignorance into our Krishna conscious career. I don't know, I don't have any plans, or just as bad, I've got my own plans, I haven't discussed it with anybody. That's just as bad as having no plan, to have an unauthorized plan, to not take guidance and come up with your own concocted idea. That's just as bad. So we're not suggesting everyone comes up with their own plan. No, we're suggesting that devotees, in cooperation with the senior Vaishnavas, try to map out their life in a way that is successful for the devotee and Krishna's service. So the Lord's commenting about that material tendency in material life. You perform activities for your sense gratification. You don't know what the result will be. You don't know what the destination will be. Then, that also applies to the residents of Vrindavan. They don't know they're with Krishna in terms of the Lord being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're just in love with Krishna. They're not thinking of Krishna's opulences. So this verse also refers to the effect of Yogamaya. Yogamaya does not act in Vaikuntha. Yogamaya acts in Vrindavan, Krishna Loka, and Yogamaya acts in the material world when the Lord descends. Yogamaya makes the tasteful arrangements for the Lord's pastimes. So the Lord had a double meaning. He's referring to the activities of Yogamaya in Vrindavan, that all his friends and girlfriends and parents and adults, caretakers in Vrindavan, they don't know who he is, and that they don't have to worry about their destination because they're with him. So anyway, you know how the Lord showed the older cowherd men what their destination would be. He took them into the Yamuna Lake, submerged them, and then when they came out, they saw the spiritual world. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, they just didn't see the Brahmajyoti, they just didn't see Vaikuntha, they saw Krishna Loka, and they were very happy. I think as we explained before, last week, they saw something that made them realize, what's the big deal about the spiritual world? It looks just like what we have now. There'll be Krishna, there'll be Vrindavan, okay. why worry about it, why think about it? That was their reaction. So, this is love of Krishna on the Vrindavan platform. Fear is there in the spiritual world, but it's all for increasing Krishna's service. The fear is not composed of the distressing elements that we know about in the material world. The fear is composed of pure spiritual love of Krishna. But in the material world, we hate fear, we hate anxiety. In the spiritual world, that same thing, fear and anxiety, is actually another thing. And therefore you read about it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read about it in Bhagavatam, the anxieties of the Lord's devotees to see Krishna, the anxieties of the devotees for taking care of Krishna. Mother Yasoda is always thinking, my baby is wandering around on the grounds of Vrindavan, will he be attacked by monkeys or fierce animals? Will he hurt himself in some way? She's always thinking like that. That is anxiety. That is fear. But because it's perfectly in relation to Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure, therefore it's all part of Krishna prema, love of God. Prabhupada took advantage of describing Vasudeva and Devaki's fear for their son, even though they also knew he was God. Prabhupada took advantage of presenting that pastime to point out, he said, nothing can stop the Krishna consciousness movement, but sometimes we become fearful, wondering what will the demons do next to try to stop it, although nothing can stop it. So in this way, Prabhupada is showing the attitude of, even in the practical preaching affairs, about how there can be knowledge mixed with affection. On the one hand, we know Krishna consciousness is the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement for fulfilling his desires. So what can stop the desires of the Lord? On the other hand, out of affection, Prabhupada was showing the fear that at any moment the demons can come up with yet another plan how to impede things, even though things can't be impeded. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada gave us the full range of transcendental feelings in relation to Krishna Loka, in relation to preaching in the material world. Who has done such? Who can present to us such a vision that can inspire us year after year, decade after decade? In this way, we can understand ourselves, understand our place in devotional service, and we can understand Krishna, and in this way, we don't take birth again. If anything, we should be thinking, I don't want to perform more activities that will bring about the very problems I'm trying to escape. This is a major realization about sense gratification activities. It's such a paradox, and sometimes this paradox really, you know, blows our mind or causes us to blow a few circuits or something. The very thing, those illicit things that we're desiring so much, are the cause of all our problems. It's amazing. We're desiring the very things, in terms of our material desires. We want the very things that have brought us all the problems of life. Now, once we start thinking like that, we can get to the bottom of Maya. Maya means it's not what it looks like. So just see, here we are in Krishna consciousness, and hopefully we're following the practices of bhakti yoga fully, yet sometimes we still desire the very things that caused us to flee the material world. Now, isn't this nuts? Can you think of any more nuts than that? But that's what material life is. It's crazy. Once you see this complete connection between sense gratification and distress, then you can start to make some progress. Otherwise, you're always befuddled. You're in like a bewildered condition because, should I want that stuff? No, no, I shouldn't. Maybe, no. So, in this way, you can't really have determination in devotional service. Once you make your peace with sense gratification, all right, you look it square in the face. I know what you've done to me. All my problems are because of my cohabiting with you. Okay, that's it. I'm drawing the line now. I see quite clearly what you've done to me. What I've done to myself by interacting with sense gratification. Okay, that's it. I'm turning the corner now. When you do that, then you become very very usable in Krishna's service. But to do that, to make that move, it takes association with devotees. And you get that realization by serving Krishna in association with devotees. You become empowered to see. It's very important that we take advice from older devotees because they've seen so many things over the years. Naturally, a humble devotee thinks that, you're around, you're serving Krishna now, in spite of so many impediments, in spite of so many difficulties, so maybe I should hear from you how I can map out my life, how I can make my goals in such a way that I can be of some value to myself and some value to Krishna. Bhakti is a mystery. It cannot be understood with our material senses. But in the association of devotees, through devotional service, that mystery of Krishna and Krishna's service becomes clear. Any questions? Yes?
Well, there's some of the reasons you think that, yes, the sannyasi, the promise, or a vision has to be sure. You have to shoot, actually, think about it. One program has to see it, why is it causing this? You should sort of kind of see if you mind yourself to kind of look at it. But the mind of the case, I'm sure, has to be seen in life, pretty simple. But that's the case, that happens in my own way, we have to. Or what we don't have to. So I think this is kind of a misconception.
That's why it's very important that the younger devotees have the examples of strong, older householder devotees. Then they can see there's an alternative. Just like this devotee last night was saying, well, yeah, this brahmachari was saying, I 5 years from now I do think I'm going to be married, but I'm wondering, does that mean I'm going to be finished? But if he can see an example, how that's not so. And that's what I pointed out to him. I said, in this community you have, it's basically managed, of course, by householders. So obviously there's another route that is possible. And even those, there are householders also who they may not be directly managing here, they are working and contributing. So it shows that some other way is possible. That's very important. Otherwise, so many young householders get bewildered. What to do. They go from one extreme to the other. They speculate or they daydream. Yeah, I'm going to be married and I'll be just like I was when I was a brahmachari. There's that extreme. Then there's the other extreme. What's the use? Just get into it. Get into the sense that, that's just the way it is. I remember Savastu, he has his very profound statements. I think it was in South America. He was telling me a few months ago, you know, common illusions. So he's saying, if some brahmachari thinks he's going to marry and just talk to his wife a half hour a day, he's just made his first mistake. He doesn't think I remember these things, but I file them all away, you know. He's just made his first mistake. He's wrong from the beginning. So that's one extreme, you know. And then there's the other extreme in which, you know, you just dive deep into sense-grab because, hey, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, and just something you got to go through, and so you might as well really get into it because you got to go through it. When you have strong examples of older devotees to talk to, then you can get a perspective. It's really tough living life without a full perspective. The only way you get full perspectives is by talking to those who kind of seen these things before. But on your own, you'll really speculate. On your own, you can really do yourself in. But if you take advantage of older devotees and, yeah, look, this is what I think I'd like to do. How does that sound to you? Have you seen this kind of movie before? Is it a rerun? What do you think? Then you can have a chance to last in Krishna consciousness. And everybody who's been coming to our evening meetings, you know, they all said they plan on going the distance in Krishna consciousness. Everyone said that. So obviously we've got to, if we're going to achieve that desire, we've got to take the right steps. We can't just, yeah, I'm going to go the distance. I plan on being Krishna conscious all my life. I plan on being a contributing devotee all my life. It's wonderful to think that way, but our point was you have to take the steps to guarantee that vision. One last question. All right. All glories to Prabhupada.